What's up, family? You are tuned into Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. From KPFA Radio and the Pacifica Network, I'm your host, Kat Brooks.
Oakland Police Commission is overwhelmingly passed by voters, 83% of them, in fact, in 2016, because the Oakland Police Department had repeatedly proven through scandal after murder of community member, after racism being revealed in the police department, after rape scandal, after violent beating, after illegal chase, after so many incidents that it could not govern or supervise itself and that it needed oversight. And it passed twice, not just once. But twice. The second time that the Oakland community voted to pass the police commission, it voted to increase, not decrease, increase the autonomy and the accountability powers of the commission over the last few years, in response largely to the success, at least, of the messaging, not the implementation, but the messaging of the defund movement. A small but growing right-wing contingent in Oakland, folks associated with the Black Action Network, Lauren Taylor's Empower, and the conservative branch of the Oakland NAACP, and now a community member who I had never heard of before and who has zero knowledge of public safety, have been attacking police accountability measures. They say in the name of safety. The latest attack came from these community groups. Groups who, by the way, make these attacks by asserting that civilians don't know anything about public safety and so shouldn't have a say. And city council members Jenkins and Houston's by interfering with the reappointment of two police commissioners. Commissioners who, by the by, were unanimously reappointed by the selection panel. Every single city council person, with the exception of council member Carol Fife of District 3, voted to remove the two commissioners. We are joined this morning by those commissioners, Ricardo Garcia Acosta, the outgoing chair of the Oakland Police Commission. Good morning, Ricardo.
Good morning, Kat. Thanks for having us this morning.
Thank you for being here. And Omar Farmer, outgoing alternate commissioner on the Oakland Police Commission. Good morning, Omar.
Good morning, Ms. Brooks. I just want to say thank you for the invite. I really appreciate your presence and your pursuit for justice in our community.
Thanks. Omar, well, let me thank you both right up for your service. That is not an easy thing to do in the city of Oakland, even before this current political moment. And please call me Kat, Omar. I'm getting at a place people are starting to call me ma'am, and I'm like, I'm not ready. You know, I'm not ready. I'm just Kat. So I think I want to start with just some brass tacks, right? Because I don't want to play inside baseball. And again, this is a segment that's relevant to so many cities across the country that also have police commissions. Because one of the things I learned, I was just at a conference with the Legal Defense Fund, in a city that I'm not going to say where I just was, but I was just in a city with them, and these attacks, right, so similar to the attack on left-leaning prosecutors that were in multiple cities, but we didn't catch on to that until long, these attacks on police commissions are actually happening in multiple cities. So I was in conversation with people from Baltimore, conversation with people from Antioch. Like, this is a thing that's going on, and so I think there's a larger agenda. We're not going to talk about that, but brass tacks, what is the police commission? What is it supposed to do? Ricardo, I'll start with you.
Yeah, excellent. So thank you, Kat. Again, so it's really important for the public to know that the police commission is composed of and governed by a set and group of commissioners, and it's also made up of two arms, the Community Police Review Agency and the Office of the Inspector General. The commission's main function really is to ensure effective external review of the OPD disciplinary process and to step in and function as the primary oversight vehicle once the department reaches compliance with and once it exits the NSA. So our primary goal is to transform OPD culture by promoting accountability and fairness. And really, at the core of our commission's existence, Kat, is to independently protect the civil rights of Oaklanders, because time after time, the police have proven that they cannot police themselves. We do this in two major ways, is really making sure that we have independence from OPD influence and to have a community of volunteers that have direct lived experience and professional experience around constitutional policing to ensure that we stay independent and we are not beholden to the interests of the city, OPD, or the OPOA.
Right, or people like me, right? Because that's some of the narrative, right? Like, oh, that these folks are just at the behest of them radical people. And that's just not true. It is just not true. Omar, I'm going to turn it to you to walk us through what happened, because even I, who've spoken about it and have you on now, I sometimes have a hard time sort of tracking what happened. So, and you don't have to do it. I was telling my guests, you ain't got to do it how I do it. I'm Kat Brooks. I'm going to name names and I'm going to do it nasty, because I think the behavior is nasty. And so I've been responding in kind. But you can do it as you would like and talk about. So what is the process like for reappointment? What was the first stage of interference? How did that escalate then to a city councilman? Because I was part of the coalition, right? It was led by the Coalition for Police Accountability. I always want to give credit where credit's due. But I was part of that grouping of people that got this passed. I've been paying attention to the police commission, and I have never, since 2016, and I said this to Jenkins directly, never seen a city council person interfere at this level. And I actually don't think he did it in a way that is congruent with how that is supposed to happen, but I could be wrong. To you.
No, you're absolutely correct. Just starting with that, that in addition to what Ricardo said, that the selection panel's process is designed to be independent of city politics, political gamesmanship, things of that nature. And so in terms of this whole process of reapplying to the police commission, as you also pointed out, that in other cities nationwide, this is part of a larger narrative. And this started with the selection panel when they first reconvened earlier this year in February or March, I believe. And members of this group started to go to the selection panel basically and state falsehoods and false narratives and say that the police commission should be abolished. They also have been coming to some of our meetings and saying some of the same things. And the accusations that they've made against me, for example, have been investigated by the selection panel, and they've all been debunked. So this process has been going on for several months. And then when we were asked to submit our applications, we did. The selection panel unanimously voted to reappoint us back on May 13th. But then this group submitted a letter to them saying that they should reconvene us for another interview because the selection panel procedure manual says that you alludes to giving two interviews, but giving two interviews to candidates is not technically required. So they recommended that they do a second interview. They did a second interview. We were unanimously reappointed again. And then all of those things that they had been saying about me specifically, they put into one letter and started sending it around to city council and things like that. Once finally that the selection panel sent the slate to the city to put on city council's agenda to vote on it, at the rules committee, council president Jenkins decided to withdraw it due to concerns that he said that he heard about this letter. Potentially from OPD as well. That's my feeling. That's what I've heard from. I've seen other people, post that on social media. I've heard other people on city council allude to that. So that's why it got pulled. It got delayed again. It went back to rules. He actually pulled it off the rules agenda, citing a Rule 19 of the city procedure. But that rule only applies to mayoral candidates, not selection panel candidates. So that was done inappropriately. And then finally, we were put back on there and then sent to, but it was put on non-consent, on the non-consent calendar so that they could talk about it during a city council meeting when this is typically a routine appointment. Nothing like this has ever happened before. And they just voted on the consent calendar with everything else that's on the consent calendar. But instead, it went there and they had this whole discussion about it. And this is what happened. So it's really disappointing. It's frustrating. But, I'm committed to doing the work of the police commission, regardless of how long I'm on there. I really appreciate the outpouring of support from people from the community. And I know who I am. I'm really proud of the work that I've done. I really appreciate the support from the commissioners and everyone else. And I'm going to continue to do everything above board and move forward.
Thank you, Omar. And I'm just going to, no one has responded to this. I do want people to know, and you can go look it up. Councilmember Ken Houston took to social media and gloated about this, right? And this is what really sort of set me off. Even admitting, to your point, Omar, that he spoke with Sergeant Hoy Gwynn about the issue, that there was a phone call. This is in an Oakland Size article. You all can go look it up. The sergeant is with the Oakland Police Association. Police associations are organizations that literally exist to protect bad actors in their police departments, right? So the thing that they want the least, my G's, is for there to be a body that can hold their officers accountable, because it makes their mission and their job that much harder. And you can also look this up, my peoples. In cities with stronger police associations, the police departments are more violent. There's a direct connection between those two things. Ricardo, do you feel targeted?
Well, I mean, absolutely. There's been straight up threats on myself and on other commissioners. And I think it's really important to understand, as exactly as you laid it out, not only was the process pretty shady, but then we had public officials doubling down and gloating on the fact that they were in communications with the union in regards to picking new commissioners. So we definitely can't get into the business of having sitting commissioners getting recalled and then having the own union work with city council to handpick their own oversight body. So that absolutely cannot be happening here in our city. And unfortunately, you know, this narrative continues to be parroted that blames this independent oversight and police and the police disciplinary process for crime in Oakland, right? We get blamed from everything from illegal dumping to the lagging of 911 calls to staffing issues of OPD. And this oft-repeated narrative by the Oakland Police Officers Association and other city officials has really spread this falsehood that has made it really hard for us to do our job of oversight. And that's exactly, as you mentioned, the playbook that's happening on the national level. We're seeing offices of inspector generals disbanded across the nation, oversight bodies targeted, and we really are trying to change the paradigm that oversight and good policing doesn't mean weaponization and punishment of officers, right? And so that's the real part that's important. And there's segments of Oakland residents that are looking for someone to blame for crime in Oakland, and that's also important to understand. And the police commission has become an easy target, and many of these residents, they know nothing about the direct lived experience and the yeah, and folks do not know about the direct lived experience of living through the actual writer's case. It's not just a book. It's not just, it was something that us as Oakland residents lived through and grew up in. And so these folks don't know the town like we know, and which is why the commission was created in the first place. And it's easy to blame the commission for crime in Oakland. But I think we all need a refresher on the writer's case. And also just that 18 months ago, the whole chief and executive staff and leadership team was cleared out due to a disciplinary scandal. And this was investigated by the police commission as well. So it's not something that happened 20 plus years ago. It's something that's still happening now. And with the help of local oversight and not having it farmed out to a federal monitor outside of the state, but folks that are here that love Oakland, that have lived experience and that have a direct line and purview of Oakland's policing on the day-to-day basis, that we're the ones that are able to make a change. And really, and really have the expectations be clear for what OPD needs to look like on the streets of Oakland. And to answer your question directly, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that being the chair of the Oakland Police Commission, being a Chicano from the Bay Area, these threats that have been happening coincided also with the city council's vote and also coincided with ICE coming to town. So it's been on high alert for both myself as, you know, Chicano, Mexican-American, as somebody that's leading oversight work and someone that's going to be soon taking a controversial vote around the demilitarization of OPD and some of their militarized weapons equipment. And so we've been working with the police department to try to find some middle ground because we do not. We're only 4 or 5 years away from 2021 and from the horrific events of George Floyd that everybody witnessed. And despite folks wanting to erase that history of police in America and the history of policing here in Oakland, we know that the Oakland voters, the reimagining public safety process, we demanded something different from our police department. And so even though we're some years removed and even though the pendulum has shifted within the national climate, we need to hold strong, remain unified here in Oakland, and remind our city officials and the police department what the standard is for policing here in Oakland.
That's beautiful. We beautifully said, we've got to end here pretty soon. I do want to say a couple of things. Yes, there was the writers. There was also the right. It never stopped. In 2015, the Oakland Police Department murdered 11 black men with impunity. That is essentially one a month. Then we had the rape scandal of Celeste Guap, which the Oakland Police Department was embroiled in. And that was the momentum that got us to the place where finally Oakland said enough is enough. The Oakland Police Department has been under federal oversight for 20 plus years because it can't adhere to five tasks, one of which is brutalizing the community. And for folks that say, oh, they're not the same police department that they used to be. And I'm going to let you respond to this and you'll be final comments. It's not because they changed. It's because the people of Oakland built a movement and they know that we are about that business. It was the movement of Oakland. It was the people in the streets. It was the creation of the police commission. It was all of the things. And the other thing I'll say, because you were on that task force, Ricardo, people got amnesia, but our city council voted unanimously to redirect 50% of OPD's budget to things that actually keep us safe. And lastly, maybe this is what you want to respond to. It seems like the Oakland Police Department blames every single body it can for crime except for the body that's actually supposed to prevent crime, which is why we give them $1 million every year, and that would be the Oakland Police Department. Omar, final comments, please. Like 60 seconds.
Yeah, no, I couldn't have said it any better myself. Like Ricardo said about the reimagining process, I also was speaking about that, about recommendations that fell under the purview of the police commission back in March. And I feel like back then is when their ramps, when they ramped up their attacks against me, was after I gave that presentation. And I feel like the city committed to doing certain recommendations that were approved through that process and that they should follow through on what they said. I intend to follow through on what I believe in and what I recommended, and I intend to continue to do that through the police commission.
And I intend to continue to cover this issue on the show, so y'all may be back. Thank you for your service. Thank you for coming on. Thank you for your courage. No, we got you. The community got y'all. So appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you for having us. Have a wonderful day. Take care.
You too.
You've been listening to Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. That's it for this episode, family. You can find more information about topics and guests in this episode's show notes. Law and Disorder is produced at KPFA. That's listener-supported radio on the Pacifica Network. The show is produced by Jesse Strauss and hosted by me, Kat Brooks. Our theme music was composed by Steve Raskin of Fort Knox 5. If you like what you heard, please follow us on social media at Law and Dis, that's D-I-S, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Feel free to holler at us about something you heard or send us a show idea at lawanddisorder@kpfa.org. You can also find our content live at 8 a.m. weekdays on KPFA. That's 94.1 FM in the Bay Area. Our show and all of KPFA's programs are funded exclusively by you, the listener. And if you're in a position to support us, please donate today at kpfa.org. Take care of yourself and take care of each other. We all we got, fam.